From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 27th day of June, 2017. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Dan O'Brien will be here from K-State to take a look at the agricultural energy sector. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too, with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Cooler weather, rainfall, a series of three, and then some heat that could build in. We'll talk to him about that. And as we make our way through the half hour, we'll take up what the condition of the crop is like across Illinois and Iowa, Minnesota and Indiana. This is an important week to listen to because there are some really important facts that are passed on by USDA NASS in these state updates. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Tuesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world. It's the 27th day of June. We're joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at the agricultural trade in Chicago. Wayne, it's weather and more weather and weather again, I think.
Well, pretty much so, Todd. You know, the weather's played a really big part in this year's markets, and especially right now with the idea that we could see the ridge move and have the trough move on in about the 5th of July. And a lot of talk about that, and that would put the warm, dry weather over that parts of the Dakotas and Iowa and Nebraska out there. We're already suffering some moisture problems like that, you know. But we took these markets down awful hard, and we've seen a little bit of short covering bounce. Also looking at the crop report coming up on Friday.
Yeah, so we have a couple of things coming up. Let's start with the dry conditions. I know that coming up later in the program, we'll hear from statisticians from USDA. They mention out of the Iowa numbers that that southeast corner of Iowa, and I went to look at the drought monitor just because I didn't recognize it to begin with, was setting at 78% in the short to very short categories for the top soil moisture. When you look at the drought monitor, it takes up the whole southeastern corner of Iowa, and they're in, I think, a D1, which is the first stage of a drought there. There are parts of Missouri in the central part that were a lot drier than that. Hasn't, I don't think, really shown up in the marketplace yet. Has the trade not noticed this? And because yesterday the numbers actually got a little better or stayed the same for corn, I suppose they're really paying attention just to those lower numbers than they have been in previous years.
Well, as you say that, a couple of the advisory firms yesterday and today were buying August and September corn calls to get them through the dry, hot pollination time period here, which will be a little later this year. But with that other front moving, with the ridge continuing to move a little bit farther east, and whether it will stay set, whether we see a change in pattern, or whether it'll be a 6 to 10 day time period, and then the move on is the big thing they're all looking at. But we've seen a lot of the advisory firms advising covering some short corn, and or else buying some calls against some of your options or against some of your sales. So it has been being noticed by a lot of people. It was very much evident with Agribull's Monday morning tape, and they're going to talk about it more on their Thursday morning tape. But another thing that happens, the dollars declined quite a bit, which has sort of helped get a little bit of the bounce going again. But boys, there are problems in Brazil. Their president's getting crammed again, and looks like if their dollar will get down to a wider thing, and it looks like we'll see some increased competition out of Brazil when that dollar gets to a 3.35 to 1. So that's something we got to watch, of some big sales coming out of South America.
Yes, he's up on criminal charges this time around, so it'll be interesting to watch.
It's a little more serious, that's for sure. It's not fun, but you know, that's one of the things they've been waiting for, their the ratio to get out a little farther, so it gives them a few more pesos, because the beans, of course, are sold in dollars.
What are your expectations for the Friday reports? Both the grain stocks and acreage numbers are due.
You know, I think the acreage number is the one that we feel is going to show more bean acres and less corn acres, but we have to remember that all these drowned out areas or places that might be abandoned in certain areas where it's not good, most of them got planted once, and that does count as being planted, because it won't show up in the prevent plant. So, but I do to see a little bit of a decrease in the corn acres and a little more bean acres, because as we go a lot of areas, we're seeing a lot more beans than we usually do and not many corn acres.
Anything else that we ought to talk about before I let you go for the day?
You know, I can say I think that one of the things when we were talking about the dry things was the crop. They did not increase, and everybody was looking for a 2 to 3% increase yesterday. And that does tell us there's a lot of areas around that maybe just are dry and they didn't get better, especially in Iowa, and that's one of the problems. And, of course, the Dakotas ratings were that way, too. Hearing a lot of problems out of, down in Arkansas about the Banville drift on those special beans that come out this year that they can spray Banville on.
Yeah, dicamba.
Dicamba
beans, yeah. So we've heard about that, and we'll hear more about that. I know that I just got a call from the folks at Market to Market. They were looking for some video of dicamba sprayed beans. I happen to have some, so if that shows up on Sunday, on the weekend of Market to Market.
I got a few texts with pictures on with really cupped leaves that are 2 miles away from the closest dicamba sprayed field.
So. Yeah, oh, this field actually looked good. It was dicamba being sprayed with dicamba, so it was the weeds that looked bad in it.
This is the one 2 miles down the road from the dicamba sprayed field.
That's right. Well, this is a tough job, and we'll have to watch it. And right about now, at least in our part of the world, is the time that that'll be showing up. It's usually, I think, about, Aaron Hager tells me, 10 to 14 days. And we're past that in a lot of Illinois and Indiana when the spray would have been put on. So hopefully farmers in this part of the world were a little better at it than they were in Arkansas. You know, that number of complaints there, and I didn't see the last one, but it grew by 100 complaints in about 4 days. So it went from 100 and something to 200 and something in about 4 days last week.
I think it's over 260 now is what they were telling me, because and I don't think it's so much the application. I think they've done a very good job of that. Dicamba, just in very warm, muggy situations, tends to really drift.
It moves. They warned us.
It moves at night.
It moves at night. Spray droplets are really fine, and it just picks up and goes. All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again, not next week, because it's July 4th on next week.
It'll be the 4th of July. So we'll be celebrating our independence.
You betcha. Absolutely. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks in that case.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. The United States Department of Agriculture has released the weekly crop progress report. It says that as of Sunday, 4% of the corn crop around the nation had silked. That compares with the rolling five-year average of 25%. This is the first week that USDA for this year has reported silking for corn. The condition of the crop is 55% in good condition, 12% excellent. That's the same as last week. 94% of the soybeans have been merged now. 91% is the rolling five-year average. 9% of the soybean crop is blooming compared to 7% on the five-year average. And the condition of the crop is said to be 57% good and 10% excellent. By comparison, last year, those numbers were 60% and 12%. USDA now reports 41% of the winter wheat crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 39%. That crop is said to be in 40% good and 9% excellent condition. Combined, those are the same as last week, but the numbers then were 41 and 8, so the crop really just a slightly better this week than it was last week. A quick look at the spring wheat and its condition, because it's not in very good condition. Around the six states reporting, 33% of the crop is in good condition, 7% in excellent. For comparison's sake, 62% was in good condition at the same time last year, and 10% excellent. Now, here are the USDA NAS updates from Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa.
This is Jacob Lyles, student intern for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. Iowa experienced below normal temperatures across the state with mostly isolated precipitation during the week ending June 25th, 2017. Activities for the week included herbicide application, side dressing, cultivating, and haying. Topsoil moisture levels rated 28% short to very short, 70% adequate, and 2% surplus. Southeast Iowa's topsoil moisture levels continued to fall, with 78% rated short to very short. 79% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Soybean emergence reached 96% complete, 5 days behind last year, but 4 days ahead of the 5-year average. Soybean condition rated 74% good to excellent. Oats headed reached 84% this week, 4 days behind last year, but equal to average. Oats coloring reached 10%, 4 days behind last year, and 3 days behind average. Oat condition rated 76% good to excellent. I am Jacob Lyles, student intern for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois weather last week overall was cooler and drier than average. Temperatures ranged from 1 to 3 degrees below normal, and rainfall averaged 3/4 of an inch across the state, nearly 1/4 of an inch below normal. Southern parts of Illinois received above normal rainfall, while the rest of the state was drier than average. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 2% very short, 17 short, 78 adequate, and 3% surplus. Wheat harvest advanced by 13 points and is now 78% complete, compared to 71% 1 year ago and 47% for the 5-year average. The first reports of corn silking were received last week. 2% of acres were silking as of Sunday, compared to 3% last year and 6% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated 9% very poor to poor, 29 fair, and 62% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. 7% of soybeans were blooming as of Sunday. That compares to 6% last year and 5% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as follows: 8% of soybean acres very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 70% of soybean acres are in good to excellent condition, an improvement from last week. In other crops, 81% of sorghum acres are now planted. The second cutting of alfalfa hay is 34% finished, and 97% of other hay acres have been harvested. Pasture conditions are now rated 6% very poor to poor, 28 fair, and 66% good to excellent, nearly unchanged from 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Madison DiGiovanni, student intern from the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region, with the Minnesota Weekly Crop Progress Report. The mostly dry weather over the last week allowed for 4.8 days suitable for field work. Crops advanced well despite the cooler than normal temperatures, and field activities for the week included side dressing corn, applying herbicides, and cutting small grain hay. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 1% very short, 8% short, 84% adequate, and 7% surplus. Corn condition was rated 78% good to excellent. The soybean crop had scattered reports of blooming, and the crop condition rated 76% good to excellent. 87% of spring wheat crop was jointing this week, with 42% spring wheat headed. Spring wheat condition declined slightly to 86% good to excellent. Oats jointing progressed to 92%, with 57% headed. Oats condition was 82% good to excellent. That was the Minnesota Weekly Crop Progress Report for the week ending in June 25th, 2017. I'm Madison DiGiovanni. Thank you.
This is Janice Presbury with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Spotty rain showers provided much-needed moisture to many parts of the state. Corn was 95% emerged compared to 100% last year and 100% 5-year average. Soybeans were 90% emerged compared to 94% last year and 94% 5-year average. Soybeans blooming were at 2% compared to 3% last year and 6% 5-year average. Winter wheat was 86% mature compared to 79% last year. Corn and soybean were growing rapidly following the hot and humid temperatures earlier in the week, but crop development remained behind average. Corn producers in central counties reported great variability in emergence, height, maturity, and condition, even within the same fields. Wheat is close to the end of maturity, and harvest has started in many southern parts of the state. Pasture and hay are starting to come back to greenness after a very hot and dry spell. Other activities included hauling grain, scouting for pests, side dressing corn, mowing roadsides, applying herbicides and insecticides, and certifying acres at FSA offices. This is Janice Presbury reporting.
We're joined by Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State University. Thanks, Dan, for being with us this afternoon. Let's start out in your part of the world with the wheat harvest and how the hard red is coming off. What do you hear?
Well, we hear varying reports that the central part of Kansas, again, in the heart of the some of our best production areas, we had pretty high yields, some concerns early on about protein levels. And, of course, that would affect a good number of decisions about how to use hard red versus hard red winter versus spring. But as we move to the west, we've still had pretty decent harvests. Still waiting to get a really good picture on the protein issue. We've had a variable year, and if there's a watchword that describes the Kansas wheat harvest, it's all, quote, all over the board. You know, we have again pretty good. Very surprisingly good yields, but the protein's up and down.
So I have a question about that as it's related to the Midwest and crops here, because one of the concerns is always if you have a tough crop out in Kansas that it becomes feed wheat. Will there be very much of that or more than that than usual, do you think, of this year? And I don't know whether the protein has an impact in that area or not.
Low protein could if we can't move it and on the bottom side. I think it's premature to fall into that quite yet. You know, we've out in the place in the area of the state, southwest Kansas, where we would have the feedlots and would be feeding quite a bit of wheat. We still have abundant feed grain supplies, and we have had the overall impact of problems up in the Dakotas has raised wheat generally enough. You know, the overall complex enough that so far we haven't seen wheat prices even in harvest fall down to the feed grain prices. So I guess for now, Todd, probably not something we're anticipating in a large way. Not a lot of chatter about it or concern. I think we'll probably have to wait and see if large crops come in around the globe. What happens up in the hard red spring area? To see what those price relationships finally are at on a cash basis at places like Garden City, Dodge City, et cetera, right where the feedlots are.
And we have only a minute left. Just a couple of quick items out of your ag energy slides for the day. What's most important?
When you look at for the month of June overall, it looks like there's profitability in both ethanol and biodiesel plant production. The issue to watch is that we started at a relatively low price for ethanol at the start of the month, ran up, and now are back where we were at the start here. So we're ending at lower prices than we've been for the average so far for the month. We're ending at lower profitability, excuse me.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us each month, and we'll give you a call one more month from now.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He is with K-State University. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming is now here to take a look at the weather forecast. Don, it is a gorgeous day here. I hope your weather there is kind of the same.
Yeah, it really is nice across a large swath of the U.S. Some of the heat that we had late last week and over the weekend tempered a little bit by a couple of systems coming out of the north central United States. So the real nasty hot weather is off into the desert states, and most of the nation's midsection enjoying some really nice late June weather.
Okay, so let's talk about that nasty hot weather in just a moment. But up front, the good weather, the nice weather, how long will it last, and will there be rain with
it? Well, there's going to be some. We're going to be looking at a couple of systems moving in at the end of the week. One will be a system developing Thursday and Friday that should bring a pretty good coverage of shower and thunderstorm activity Thursday and Friday, and then pushing out of the Corn Belt by late Saturday into Sunday morning. Then we see another round of shower and thunderstorm activity arriving sometime, well, very close to, either just before or during the 4th of July. And we're going to see an active thunderstorm pattern from late this week and into next that should spread Good coverage, shower and thunderstorm activity should equal some good rains in many areas. And temperatures warm, but at least here for another 7 to 10 days, Todd, nothing excessive with the heat.
Are we talking good rains a half to an inch or more than that?
Well, I think with each of these systems, and there's three we see, one late this week, another one near the 4th of July, and then a couple of days after the 4th of July, each one of those, I think, has the potential for a quarter to three quarters of an inch, some areas getting more than an inch with each of these. Now, the coverage of these may not be in the exact same place every time, these three systems, but you add these three up over the most of the Corn Belt and Midwest, everybody should have some good chances of getting wet in that 10-day period.
And then does the heat come in from the west? Does that mean the ridge is coming or not?
Well, we certainly see towards the second week of July, high pressure wanting to get better established across the Midwest and across many areas of the nation from the Central Plains eastward through the Great Lakes and includes the Corn Belt. It's another 10 days away, though, before I see that building. So we're probably talking after July 7th, towards the 10th, somewhere around that time frame when we could expect it to be a little bit more persistently hot. Right on schedule, really, for some hotter July weather, but the real heat may not be till after the 10th of the month.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Markup Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for this farming world on a Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear our program again, you can do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. There we post most of our programming not long after it airs on our radio stations, and Commodity Week before it ever airs on most of our radio stations, at least in most weeks. That will not be the case this week because of the USDA report, the acreage, and the grain stocks report due out Friday morning. During the whole hour Friday afternoon, we'll discuss those numbers. You can hear Commodity Week in its full, if you'd like, on our website at Will Ag after the fact. But we'll go live Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.